Bible, I do say, people is the only source of information given to you that you might know the way back to God from the dark path of your sin. No other source of information, right information, that is truth. People say today that there can be no such thing as absolute truth, but yes, there is, and it's to be found alone in the Bible, in God's Word, infallible, inflexible truth, and given to you, of course, that you might know and find your way back to God through the truth, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the incarnate truth and Word of God. He says in one place, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in another place he says, or rather the Word of God says, neither is there salvation in any other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved, only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoken of, the record of which is in the Bible, in God's precious Word. The Bible says in another place, to the law and to the testimony, that's the Bible itself, if they speak not according to this Word, the Bible, then it's because there is no light in them. You see, they might speak from some religious establishment, they might speak some kind of church religious tradition, but God says if it's not according to His Word, the Bible, then there's no light in them. They're just as darkened as you are. They might be religious, they might wear religious clothes, they might speak in God's name or claim to, they might speak even in the name of Christ or claim to, but if it's not according to the doctrine of Christ, if it's not according to the Word of God, then God Himself says there is no light in them. But then the reason why you need the Bible is because, like everybody else in the world, born into the world, you were born in darkness, conceived in your mother's womb, conceived in sin, God says. Not I who say it, but God Himself who says it, says that all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that every man, woman, and child born in iniquity, shapen in iniquity. So you come from your mother's womb, you come into this world in the darkness of sin, with a mind unable to reason and to find your way back to God of yourself. Without the light of God's Word, without the truth to liberate, to enlighten, and to bring you, fetch you out of your darkness. But there's the very reason why God gave us the Bible, gave us His Word, that you might have light, that you might have your mind illuminated by the Word of God, and brought to see and understand the kind of person you are, created in God's image, for God, for love, to be loved and to love. Created in the image of God, but marred and spoiled by sin. But that there is a Redeemer, there is a way back to God, the one of whom the Bible speaks from beginning to end, even Jesus, the one that loved sinners and gave himself for them. So the Bible is indispensable if you're to find righteousness, if you're to find holiness, without which the Bible says no man shall see the Lord. It is indispensable if you are to find your way back to God, into a right relationship with the true and living God. The Bible, I say to you, is indispensable, lest you come in contact with it at some point in your corrupt, unhappy and miserable existence in this world. It is impossible for you to be saved. The Word of God is a necessity, and it alone is the source book of information, the truth to lead you back to God. But then the Bible, if you take to reading it, you'll discover, you'll come to this amazing, this fantastic discovery, that it is by grace, God's wonderful and free grace alone, that liberates, that brings a person out of the darkness of their sin and into God's marvelous, wonderful light and love. Grace and grace alone. But then the upside of that is that you don't have to work for it. You don't have to be tormenting yourself with religion in order to please God. You don't have to be working night and day, dressing up in fancy religious clothes, veiling your face, your body, or anything else with religious garments. You don't have to flog yourself, beat yourself up. You don't have to torment yourself with religion. The wonderful, wonderful truth of God's Word is that it is by grace and grace alone that God makes a person right with himself. It is the free gift of God, because if you have to work for it, be religious for it, morally upright for it, obedient for it, if you have to do anything for it, then it is no longer of grace. You have just killed it, stone dead. It is no longer gift, but of works. But the Bible makes it clear that God will justify no man, no sinner, by religious works or any other kind of works. No, grace and grace alone. And God gives his grace to whoever he pleases to give it to. The free gift of God. That, of course, shuts you up to the grace of God. That, of course, casts you upon the mercy of God and that alone. Lest God shows mercy to you, you remain, you live in your sin as you were born in it, and you'll die in it and go to a lost eternity unless the grace of God comes to you. But God's grace, if you continue to read the Bible a space more, well, you'll discover that God's grace is realized by faith. You access it. It operates by faith, and again by faith alone. The Bible makes this clear and demands from beginning to end, from start to finish, of all men and women, faith towards God, trust in the God who has revealed himself in what you call nature, that is his creation, all his creative activity. You who say that there is no God, who have this foolish evolutionary notion, you who have swallowed the lie of the devil and subscribe to this doctrine of death, that there is no God. Well, I tell you, this afternoon God says to you, take a look at all the things that he has created. They reveal his Godhead and his power, his wisdom, his magnificence, his majesty. You have no excuse for not knowing that there is a God. In your blindness, atheism, godlessness, in your wishful thinking, you may wish there not to be a God, but that doesn't make him not to be. That doesn't put him out of existence. He is. You know he is. In your innermost being, in your heart of hearts, you know that he is, and you know that you're accountable to him, and so you will be. You can ask me to shut up and to go away and all these kinds of things, but you will never blot the being, the knowledge of God completely from out of your innermost being. You know that he is, and God indelibly stamped that knowledge in your soul when he created you. So you can live with your fanciful notions. You can live with your lies, you can live with your atheism, well, not live, but you can exist with it if you please, but you're fooling, you're deceiving your own self. Now, you see, it is by faith, and God demands of all men and women that they believe, that they trust in him, the true and living God. The commandment to you this afternoon is simply this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is by faith and by faith alone that you access, realize the grace of God, come into an enjoyment of it, God's wonderful free grace that justifies a sinner and makes him right with God. But then, if you continue a space to read the Word of God, you'll discover also that that faith has to be directed towards the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For you might reply, I have faith, I believe in myself, and look at the mess yourself has got yourself into. I mean, what point is there, what power, what strength is there in believing in you? A rotten, depraved sinner, just like everybody else, with a deceived and deceitful heart. I mean, to trust in yourself, that's the very last thing that you ought to do. Because you have no power, you have no strength. All you have is a sinful heart that lets other people down and lets yourself down time and time again. When, oh when, will you learn not to trust in yourself, because you cannot be trusted? So it's not faith in yourself. That will not do the trick, not by any means whatsoever. So what is it faith in? Faith in religion? Well, which one, I ask you, are you to choose of this conglomeration of religion that fills your world today? I mean, you could take your pick, anything from Rome to Mecca and back again and everything else in between. But I suggest to you, if you look at them and you look at the fruits of those religions, well, there's not much power there. The power to kill, the power to shed blood, the power to create hatred. Oh yeah, religion will do all that and much more for you. No, I suggest to you that religion's not the answer. It is, as I began with, the grace of God that transforms and changes human beings into the likeness of God, the God of love, the God of grace, God of compassion, a God of kindness, a God who is good and who causes it to rain upon the just and the unjust. So, no, you don't need to believe in religion, as you keep on pointing out to me. It's religion that's the cause of all the trouble. Well, not all of it, but a good deal of it, I do admit. So, that's no good. That won't save you. That won't bring you to God. That won't bring the grace that transforms and changes the human heart. No help there. No need to believe in religion, and no need to torment yourself with the question, which one is the right one? No, it is faith, and faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that brings you into a realization of the grace of God. Faith, and faith alone in Christ, and Christ alone. Because the Bible, you see, God's alone source book, the Bible, points to Jesus, points to the Christ, the Son of God, that loved sinners, came into the world, lived and died, and rose again from the dead in order that they might be saved. So, you see, grace of God through faith alone in Christ alone, whom the Bible declares to be the only mediator between God and men. The Bible speaks nothing of Allah, nothing of Muhammad, nothing of the Pope, nothing of your priests, nothing of all these people to whom you pay subservience, religious worship, give due honor and respect to. No, people, it is to Christ and Christ alone, the Son of God. He alone can reconcile you to God, bring you back to God. Without Christ, I tell you, you have no way back to God, for He is the only way. He Himself said so. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not in Muhammad's name, not in the Pope's name, or anybody else's name. Christ and Christ alone, not even in His mother Mary, who was a sinner, who's dead and buried, who's long gone, and has no power to save anybody else, not even herself. In the Bible, you can read these words. It might be that the Pope, it might be that the priest has tricked you, has blinded your eyes to the truth of God's word. But believe me, in the Bible, you can read these very words that Mary, the Virgin, the mother of Jesus, she rejoiced to see God, her Savior. And why did she speak such words as that? Because she was a sinner, just like everybody else, and needed a Savior. And her Savior was her Son, Jesus Christ, the one who was to come into the world, who came, lived and died, as I say, and rose again from the dead, that you might know eternal life in His wonderful, wonderful name. So, Jesus, remember, you heard it in this place, Jesus, Christ alone, no other mediator between God and men, not Mary, not the Pope, not Confucius, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah. Christ and Christ alone is the Savior of sinners. There isn't any other. If you miss out on Jesus, if you refuse, reject, neglect Jesus, how can you be saved? You cannot. That is an impossibility. God sent His Son into the world that the world through Him might be saved. But you'll read too, if you continue with the Bible a short space more of time, you'll discover too that confession of sin is to be made to Christ and Christ alone, the Son of Man, as He is sometimes termed in the Bible. The Son of God and the Son of Man are one and the same person. And the Bible clearly declares that the Son of Man alone has authority to forgive sins. So there is no value. In fact, it's to your detriment. It's to your, well, it adds to your account, as it were. You're treasuring up wrath for the day of judgment if you continue to offer religious worship in confessing your sin, as I say, to popes, to priests, saints, Mary, or anybody else other than Jesus Christ. That is blasphemous religion, which is profane and is contrary to God's word and to his law, is an abomination to God. Now, confession of sin, as the Bible says, is to be made to Christ and Christ alone. He only has the power, the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven, unless you've heard the words of absolution from him. Well, I tell you, you remain in your sin, in your darkness, with your guilt, far away from God, with no hope in this world or the world to come. But then the Bible also declares that, well, these things, I mean the things of God, I mean the gospel, I mean the gospel of God's salvation, I mean things concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, how he saves and how he delivers from the wrath to come, the judgment and curse of God because of human sin. Well, the Bible says that these are spiritual matters and they are spiritually discerned. You cannot understand them properly without the help of God's Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said on one occasion to an exceptionally religious man, he said to him, "Ye must be born again." And he went on in the same conversation to say to the same man, except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. So without the help of God's Spirit, without you be born again, without your nature be changed, without you're made a new creature in Jesus Christ, created anew, all over again, new heart, new start, clean slate, beginning all over again, new life from God in Jesus Christ by the grace of God through faith. Well, I have to tell you, you'll remain in your blindness, in your darkness, and without any hope at all for this world or the next. So, God's Holy Spirit is a necessity. But then Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the God of grace, and the God of comfort, the only one who can bring comfort to your soul in this sin-darkened world, well, he has declared, he has commanded that his disciples go into all the world and preach the gospel, in order, of course, that people like yourselves, that you might hear and live. And of course, Hanley City Centre, being part of the world, well, I come here week by week on a Thursday, oh, that you might hear. If just one person were to hear the glorious message of the gospel, turn from their sin, repent of it, and believe in the Savior, the only Savior of sinners, well, that would be worth coming here for 1,000, even 1,000,000 Thursdays. But who knows, maybe, just maybe, this will be your day when God will shine the light into your heart and mind and grant to you the knowledge of his salvation. So, as I say, the Bible and the Bible alone, if it's not according to the Bible, it's not according to God. The grace of God alone saves and is realized through faith alone. and in Christ alone, those, I tell you, are vital. Without either, you cannot come to a right knowledge of the true and living God. But in the Bible, again and again, God, He issues warnings, He issues threatenings, in order, well, that you might get something of the fear of God into your soul. He does so, He warns, in order that you might avert a sure and certain danger, that of the wrath to come, the damnation of hell. Because God would have you to escape such, but you can only do so, as I say, by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But God issues promises, all to faith, of course. He issues threatenings, warnings, promises, encouragements, admonitions. They're all there in the Bible. And in one place, He says this: Be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and serve the Lord. The very purpose for which you were created, for which you were made, for which you were put upon this planet, was that you might serve, worship the true and living God. But you see, God issues the threat, the warning, He issues the admonition, in order that you by His grace might escape His judgment. Because you see, this is still, the Bible says, a day of grace, a time when people, men and women, are entering into God's kingdom. But be assured, the day will come when God will close the door, and that day of grace will come to an end, and then men and women will be seeking after, searching for the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God through Him, but it will be too late. The day of grace will be over. So if you harden yourself, if you, as God puts it here, continue to stiffen your neck, harden your heart, resist the grace of God, well then, you will be totally and completely undone. So God, He would encourage you this afternoon to yield yourself, submit yourself to His grace, to His love, His overtures of kindness towards you. It's a kind invitation. It's one that you don't deserve. Be assured of that. You deserve not the grace of God, but it is presented to you nonetheless. A door of opportunity is open before you, that you might come into a place of extreme safety. Be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, in order that you might be saved, in order that you might come into a place of safety, escape the judgment and the wrath of God which is to come upon all sinners. But the season of grace, well, as I say, there are two ways that a man, that a woman can take. You can go the broad pathway, you can take the popular route, you can go the way of all flesh that's pleasing to everybody. Well, everybody's travelling this way, nobody believes God in this nation anymore, so I'll just go along with the rest, along with the multitude. I'll go the way that's pleasing to my nature. That's the road, Jesus says, that ends in destruction. But then, of course, there's another way, another road, another pathway. Jesus calls it the narrow pathway, and it's the one that leads to life. There's not so many people who travel on it. It's not quite so popular. It won't be pleasing to your flesh. It won't satisfy your carnal lusts and desires, but it will lead you to eternal life. and that way, that narrow pathway, and that straight gate that you must enter in to obtain life, well, I tell you, first and foremost, you must be willing, not stiff-necked. You must be submissive, not hardening your heart. You must be yielding to the grace of God, as opposed to being stiff-necked, hard-hearted, impenitent, unyielding, and full of hostility towards God. Submission, of course, means submission to God's commandments, the Creator's rule. You see, that's what got you into the trouble in the first place. Breaking God's commandments, that's what sin is. You know, you've heard them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Honor thy father and mother instead of hating, rebelling against them, and abusing them verbally, physically, or any other which way. Honor thy father and mother, you despisers of your parents. Hearken up, listen. You're breaking God's commandments, you're living lawlessly. And then, of course, thou shalt not kill by means of a gun, a knife, verbal, you know, destruction of a person's life with your gossip, with your malicious hatred and use of your mouth. No, there are many ways, of course, in which you can kill another human being and take their life from them. Abortion is another one. With a record, a track record as a nation, 22 million unborn infants slaughtered on the altar of your sexual pleasure and promiscuity, the murder and the slaughter goes on day after day. In spite of God's commandment, thou shalt not kill, murder that is. And then, of course, well, there are one or two more, such as, thou shalt not commit adultery, which includes every form of immorality known to you and to others. That includes your homosexuality, which is an abomination to God, contrary to His word. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus chapter 16. In the Bible, God comes against such practices. He says it is worthy of death. It is unnatural for a woman to lie with a woman and a man to lie with a man. Mr. Blair, Brown, and all their confederates can legislate, bring out enactments for such unclean and filthy practices, but believe me, they will always be unacceptable to God's unchanging word. You live that lifestyle, believe me, the just recompense will be the wrath of God, and in fact, is the wrath of God right at this very moment in time. No, people, immorality, your promiscuity, your sleeping around, spreading your sexually transmitted disease all over the world, all over the nation, and costing society millions and millions of pounds with your dirty habits of promiscuity are unacceptable to God. It is lawlessness. Lawlessness is sin. Sin is lawlessness, living contrary to God's commandments. So I command you, on the authority of God's word, the Bible, today, repent and believe the gospel. Turn, that is, from your commandment breaking and yield to God's commandments. because that's the wholesome, that's the healthy, that's the righteous, that's the good way of living. And people, oh believe me, what a transformation you will see in your life. What a transformation you will see in your society, in your world, if only you were to obey the commandments of God, yield to His righteousness, submit to His, your Creator's rule. Trusting Him and obeying Him through Jesus Christ, because of course no one was ever saved by keeping commandments, by keeping rules. The very trouble is that because of your sinful nature, you are unable to keep a single one of God's commandments. You'll look at them and you would say, who on earth could keep such rules as these? It's an impossibility, and of course so it is with you. But then those commandments were given in order to teach you what kind of a sinner, what kind of a depraved, deceitful, sinful person you are in your heart of hearts. Because before you start pointing the finger at other people for their sins, their breaches of God's commandment, well, I command you, look into your own heart, because you will find exactly the same vices there that you blame other people for. No, it's in all of our hearts, every single one of us. The problem is the heart. The heart is the problem. Until the heart is changed, until it's transformed by the power of God's grace, you're keeping God's commandments. Well, that would be a hopeless mission indeed. But God sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world that those who know and realize and come to an understanding and a knowledge of their sin. For the Bible says, a knowledge of sin comes by God's law, reading and understanding those commandments of God and His just righteous requirements of you. By coming to a knowledge of your sin, well, hopefully you'll be turned to the only Savior, the only one who can deliver you from the guilt attached to your lawlessness, the sin and uncleanness of the way that you've been living contrary to God's law. Christ Jesus came into the world, the Bible says, to save sinners, not to destroy men's life, not to judge, not yet anyway, not to condemn, but He came to save and to rescue lawless people. He came to save the ungodly. He died for the ungodly, those who have made themselves so unlike God, ungodded themselves, you might say, with their atheism, with their darkness, with their rebellion, their hardness, impenitent hearts, resisting God and His grace all their days. Christ Jesus came into the world to save such and died on the cross for such ungodly sinners. He came in order that you might have the way back to God, that you might know that He is the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in Him shall live. Not the existence that you have, but life eternal, wholesome, righteous, good, pure, dynamic, powerful. A life, people, that you never dreamed imaginable. Being born again of God's Spirit, ravished in your heart by the love of God, a heart changed by the power of God, made completely new. The past obliterated, forgiven, blotted out, remembered by God no more. And all because of Jesus, all because of Christ. All because of his love for sinners who came and lived and died on that cross to bear the sin of many, to take away the guilt and the punishment, to take that punishment upon himself, that the sinful, ungodly person might walk away a free man, a free woman, being made new and given life that is eternal and everlasting, never coming to an end. But I have to tell you that if Christ doesn't pay the price, if he doesn't bear away your sin, if he doesn't remove the guilt, if his blood doesn't cleanse you, if his righteousness doesn't cover you, well, I tell you, on that fearful, that last and great day, when all men shall stand before God and give account, on that day of judgment, well, I ask you, who'll defend you? Who'll shield you? Who'll save you from the fearsome wrath and judgment of God that will be poured out in all its fullness and power? I tell you, without Christ, I tell you, without the only mediator, I tell you, without the Son of God, without my Jesus and my gospel, I tell you, impossible, impossible for you to be saved. You will incur the full wrath of God, the full cup of the wine of God's wrath will be poured out upon you. Men and women, the Bible says, will be crying down the rocks and the mountains to cover them and hide them from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb. People, you need the Lamb of God today to take away your sin, so that you will be able to face that judgment with confidence, without fear. But Christ and Christ alone can save you. Christ and Christ alone can do that for you. Nobody but my Jesus, but my gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that's religious. No. For everyone that works good works. No. For everyone that believeth, the Bible says, the power of God, the dynamite of God, to blow you out of your addictions, your filth and your drugs, and every other addiction to sin. The power, the dynamite of God, to blow you out of that quarry of sin, and to bring you into the liberty, the freedom of God's righteousness, his goodness, that eternal life that he promises to all who believe on Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world for that very reason and purpose. People, there are promises all over the Bible, but not one of them, not a single one of them, is issued to atheism. There's no promises for atheists. There's no promises for unbelief. All the promises of God are to faith. Faith in Christ and Christ alone. No subtractions. No additions. None of your religious paraphernalia. Christ and Christ alone. No other. The only mediator between God and men, through Christ and Christ alone, and faith alone in him. Well, you come to a realization of the grace of God alone that saves. But it's in the Bible alone, that you will find, that you will discover that truth. There is no other source of information given to you. As I said to you, not Pope, not priest, not prelate or anybody else. The Word of God, and the Word of God alone, can give you the truth that will liberate you, set you free from the judgment, the condemnation of your sin, set you free from your sinful addictions, and bring you into the liberty of the sons of God. As I say, it's in the Bible, and I don't ask you to take my word for these things. I offer you a copy of God's word to take home with you and read for yourself and see that these things are so. Check it out. Check everything I say, every sentence, every single word. Check it out against God's word. And if it's not according to the Bible, then forget that I ever spoke it. But in the Bible, hearing God's word is the truth, the liberating truth of God. And I invite you to take a copy, if you've got the moral courage, if you've got the fiber, to come and take it out of my hand, take it home with you, read for yourself and see that these things are indeed true, and that they need to be believed by you, embraced in faith. And then, and only then, will you be saved. But the Bible is free. There's no cost, no obligation to you. All you have to do is summon up the courage, the moral fiber, to take it out of my hand. If you've got that, then you can have a free copy of an extract from the Bible entitled John or Mark's Gospel. But then, not only is the word of God free, but so is the grace of God. So is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Reception of Jesus Christ by faith, reception of the Son of God by faith into your heart brings the salvation and the Son of God and eternal life in his name. So you could take God's word home with you freely without obligation, but you could go one better. You could receive the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, take him home with you in your heart. Believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says so. That's the only commandment. That's the only commandment that is appropriate for you this afternoon as an unbelieving sinner. God does not invite. God does not make an offer. He simply says, he commands you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you'd like to have a copy of God's word, come and ask for one. I should be gone in just a few seconds. But if you'd like one, well, come and ask me for one. God bless you, and have a nice day.